Thanks, Carlton. Have you ever gone swimming in a river? I can think of rivers that I've gone swimming in as a kid. Once dipping into the River Dordogne in France, another time in the River Loire. Maybe it's down on the River Severn at Arles or some other places. In fact, we used to have a neighbour who quite an eccentric retired lady who used to have a bit of a penchant for going swimming naked in the river at Arles. And so if ever we were in Arles, there would always be a little bit of wondering whether she would also be out visiting down at the River Severn on that particular day. But have you had that moment where you put your feet into the water and you felt the coldness of it? It sends shivers up your spine, but then you're just a little bit intrigued to go a little bit further and you start to roll up your trousers or you lift up your skirt a little bit and you kind of wade in a little bit, going slightly deeper and deeper. Have you ever got to the point where you think, oh, blow it, I'm just going to go all in. I've come this far, I might as well just chuck myself in, abandon myself and just go with the flow of the river. Well, that's exactly what Ezekiel the prophet has a vision of. He's in a hot, dry, arid land, and he's in captivity along with all the other people who followed Yahweh. Judah, the kingdom of Judah, has been taken over, has been defeated. Their city, holy city, Jerusalem, has been taken. The temple has been destroyed, and the people have been trafficked from Jerusalem into Babylon. They've been taken captive. And so for them, no temple means no God, because the temple is where God lives. In their minds, if you wanted to know where God was, he wasn't everywhere. He was somewhere in other words, in the temple. And you went to the temple because that's where God was. And you went there to worship him and to bring your sacrifices. Destroy the temple, and it's as if the very essence of God, the existence of God, has been destroyed as far as they are concerned. It is a mortifying, crushing experience being in captivity. Now this evening, we're going to do a bit of By the Rivers of Babylon. Because the evening congregation, well, they're disco divas. And so we're going to get into that a little bit in our Psalm 137 this evening. But we're going to see here that the people have a vision. Ezekiel in particular paints a picture. His vision, he sees a bubbling spring of water coming up from under the temple. And that trickle of water eventually becomes a river. And Ezekiel thinks, well, what should I do? He's got a vision of the temple, even though he's not there at the time. He can picture it in his head. But there's water coming from under the temple. In fact, it's coming from the very Holy of Holies. Should he be worried? Should he be thinking, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? I think I better call tape measure man. So he kind of quickly goes off and calls somebody out, because that's what you've got to do. If you've got water coming from within your building, you can imagine if we had water coming from under here, we might be thinking, right, seven South Staff's water, we might think we better need them. And so he calls out tape measure man. And so in your Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 47, it talks about tape measure man comes out. Because tape measure man likes nothing better than measuring things. If he can get his tape measure out and he can start measuring things, quantities, distances, units, he is as happy as Larry. And some of you know what tape measure man feels like, because when you're out on site and you got your hard hat on and your steel toe cap boots on and you're measuring things, wow, man, you are in your zone. Wonderful. So tape measure man is here. And Ezekiel is saying to him, what can you see, tape measure man? By the way, tape measure man first appears in Ezekiel chapter 40. And the reason I've got this on is because it says that this man, this angelic bronze-like man, and I'm thinking a high-vis vest is probably kind of similar type sort of thing. So we've got tape measure man with his tape measure and his high-vis vest coming to assist Ezekiel. And lo and behold, tape measure man's conclusion is, yep, you're right, you got a leak. And it's coming from within the temple. In fact, it's coming from the Holy of Holies, and it's dribbling out, coming down, and is going east. So it says, tape measure man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. Tape measure man said, you've got water coming down from under the south side of the temple. Tell me something I don't know. Tape measure man then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. Tape measure man says you've got water coming from outside of your temple. It's coming out from the temple and it's heading down. It's coming into a trickle, into a stream, and into a torrent. And Ezekiel's thinking, oh my goodness, what do I do? The temple's going to be, do we phone insurance? What do we do? No. Tape measure man says, relax. It's all good. This is how it's meant to be. This is the vision that he has. What river? Well, it's not the Jordan River, because the Jordan River is 20 miles away from Jerusalem. And it's not a river that comes from Jerusalem in the physical sense, because Jerusalem's up on a hill. It's a high point. There's no known river that comes from Jerusalem. But what Jerusalem does have is a spring, the Gihon spring, just on the outskirts of the wall. It's small. It's really small. It's a trickle of water to start with. But Ezekiel sees something prophetic. He sees that the water starts small and it starts to flow and it gets bigger and deeper and wider as it goes on. And eventually, the little trickle becomes a stream. The stream becomes a little brook. A brook becomes a river. And a river becomes an absolutely wide, expansive estuary out into the sea. All from this little spring. We know a bit of that around here because Plants Brook. You know Plants Brook, the little trickle of water starts in the north side of Sutton Park. Eventually comes down into Blackrock Pool, through Sutton Coalfield, through Erdington, goes into the River Tame. The River Tame becomes the River Trent. The River Trent goes into the estuary at Hull at the Humber Estuary, where the Humber Bridge crosses over. Ever been over the Humber Bridge? Enormous bridge. At one point, the world's biggest single-span bridge, 2.2 kilometres long. It's still the world's 10th largest bridge. It's enormous, but it starts up the road in Sutton Park in a little spring as one of the tributaries for it. We know a thing or two about this. And what Ezekiel is saying is, hey, this little river, this isn't just any old bit of water. This is the river of God. This river represents the life, the vitality, the energy, the beauty, the grace of God, the Spirit of God, and it's flowing. It's flowing. Yes, it starts small, but it gets bigger, wider, deeper. Wow, what a thing to look at. So Tape Measure Man comes along, and Tape Measure Man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand with his tape measure, and he measures off 1,000 cubits. That's about 500 meters. And it says he led Ezekiel through the water that was ankle deep. And then he says, come on, no, go a bit further. Go deeper. So Tape Measure Man said to Ezekiel, come this way. We'll do another 500 meters. And now it's up to his knees. And then Tape Measure Man says, let's go another 500 meters. Now it's up to his waist. Tape Measure Man says, no, let's go deeper. Now it's up to his chest. Keep going deeper. And now it was so deep that Ezekiel can't touch the bottom of the ground with his feet. The only way to do it is to be released, to swim, to go with the flow of the river, to enjoy, to bathe, to swim in the river. Wow, all from that little trickle to start with. And there's something about this prophetic vision that says to all of us, take a next step. If you've been standing on the sidelines of church, looking in, wondering what all this is, all this faith thing is all about, take a step. Go and dip your toe in the water, a first step. Go and see what all the fuss is all about. And if you've done that, go a little bit deeper, go ankle deep. And if you've been around a while and it's been part of your pattern and you love being around the community of faith here, but you're not quite sure whether it's for you in terms of the actual spirituality of it, the faith of it, try. Take a next step and go deeper, up to your knees. And go a bit deeper still to your waist. And if you've even got to your waist and you're thinking, wow, could I be abandoned in the Holy Spirit? Could I actually let go of my self-control? Do you remember what Leonie said about get over ourselves? Maybe that message really struck home, struck a chord with you. I've got to get over myself. I'm waist deep. Get over yourself and go deeper. Allow yourself to go free in the Holy Spirit, in what God has for you. This river has got trees on either side of it. Why? Because the river of God brings life wherever it goes. There's desert, there's rocks all around. But where the river goes, there is life either side. Ever seen a picture of the Nile River? Desert, sand everywhere, but suddenly there's vegetation and lushness on either side of the river. Why? Because the river brings life. And the river of God will bring life to you wherever, whatever your situation you're in. You might find yourself in a really tough time. You don't know how tough it is to be a teacher these days. You don't know how tough it is to work in the NHS. You don't know how tough it is to be a single parent. You don't know how tough it is to be the only Christian in my extended family. You don't know how tough it is to live on my own. The river of life brings life wherever it goes. Life. Life. For you to experience. This water flows towards the eastern ridge and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the Dead Sea. And when it enters into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh water. This is a freshwater river. And where God goes, freshness follows. But this, it's a free-flowing river. It's not stagnant. And I've got here some stagnant water. I've got an option. I can drink some stagnant water, or if I've got this round the right way, I can drink some pure, still mountain water. This is Scottish spring water. And I can tell you what, I know exactly which one I prefer to drink. The fresh, flowing water, because it brings life. I don't want to drink the stagnant water. Sometimes you build a pond as an ornate feature in your garden. Nice rocks around it, a bit of shell around it, fill it with water, fill it with plants. You don't take care of it too much. There's no fresh water going into it. It stands still and it becomes stagnant. And after years, it stinks. I don't want to drink that. It's stagnant. It's going nowhere. Sometimes we need to make a choice between the stagnant water and the free-flowing water. The stagnant water where nothing changes here. Nothing new comes in, nothing new goes out. Stagnant. Looks okay, all right, pretty at first, but it ain't going to bring life. It's going to make people feel a bit unsettled. We need the fresh, flowing water. And that's exactly what he sees. In verse 9, he realizes where the river flows, everything will live. Wow. That's what we want in the Holy Spirit. Jesus identified living water as the work of the Holy Spirit. He said this in John chapter 7. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom he believed in him were later to receive. Wow. We don't have to think back to a city 2,000 miles away. And a river over there. That river flows from that temple right way through into us, in us and through us. Wow. You have the capacity for the river of God in your life. The freshness, the vitality, the fullness, the abandonment. And that river, it starts in Genesis, because Genesis starts with a river that spreads into four, and it ends in Revelation with another river. It continues right the way through the whole of God's story. There the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street. Wow. The river is flowing. Take a step. And where that river goes, it brings harvest. It says those will catch fish on the sides. They'll catch abundant fish, lots of different kinds of fish. There's a diversity, there's a vitality about this. And he also says that there'll be trees full of fruit. So images, catching lots of fish, that should make us think of something about the Gospels, of something Jesus said. Trees that bear fruit, again, that should make us think about Jesus and stories that he's told. And he says these trees not only will have abundant fruit, we expect fruit, that's what life brings, but also the leaves will bring healing and wholeness. That's what we want, healing and wholeness. And so we minister out of the river of life, because it's in the river of life from there that the healing comes. So to end with this, When Tape Measure Man talks Ezekiel through this, imagine Tape Measure Man is walking you through that. He's got his tape measure out and he's talking you through this. Where do you want to be in that story? Where do you picture yourself? Are you standing on the outside on the banks of the river looking in, wondering what it would be like? I wonder if this thing really is true or not. I wonder if it really does work and you're looking in. If that's you, take a step. Dip a toe in. See what the fuss is all about. And if you've done that and you've been intrigued and maybe you've kind of got involved in this faith, this church community, and you're wondering, wow, these people seem nice. I've got over the barrier of the front door. I wonder what it was really like. Take a go at going ankle deep. See what it really feels like. Does it work? What happens when you pray? What happens when you worship? And maybe if you've been around a long time and you've always kind of kept a little bit reserved, a little bit, you know, it's nice people, I've got a good history here, but I've always kept myself a little bit back, hold back, not quite sure if I really want to go for this full faith thing. I might take over my life thing. Take a risk. Take a risk. Go a little bit deeper. Go knee deep. Well, it's a bit embarrassing. It's a bit awkward. People might think I look a bit strange. Don't worry about the others. It's not about them. Get over yourself, in the great words of Leone. And if you've got to a point of waist deep, and you think, well, I'm almost there. I can feel the flow of the river. I can feel the force of the river. I can feel the presence of the river. I'm intrigued, but there's a little bit of me just wants to keep hold. I can't quite bring myself to let go. What happens if it changes my direction of life? What happens if it changes the direction I go in? What I do with my time and my energy? What happens if I find myself wanting to get deeper in worship? Let go. Take a risk and let go. And allow yourself to go free in the river of God. See what happens. See what happens. Where the river goes, it brings life. And what is the river? It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We as a church have a great opportunity to do this. The invitation, though, is for you and for me to take a next step to go deeper. Let's pray, and then the worship band are going to lead us in our final hymn together.